At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Active Action Podcast. Today is the day of Halloween. We're excited to present a spooky episode to you. Today, we have with us our esteemed guest, Nadine Bailey. I'm sure you have heard of Nadine. If you're in Edmonton, if you're a ghost lover, just a little bit about Nadine is that she is an award-winning writer and producer of the Edmonton Ghost Tours. And she's also worked with many different other networks over the year, including the Discovery Channel, Outdoor Life Network on shows, including Creepy Canada. And Nadine has a podcast called Haunted Canada with Curious Cast under Chorus Entertainment. So honored to have you, Nadine, in this Halloween special episode. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, Nadine. I'm sure our guests are really excited to hear some bone-chilling ghost stories. So just wanted to set the stage and give it all to you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, so I've been doing the ghost tours in Edmonton now probably 17, 18 years. Mm-hmm. Started off doing the ghost tours in Old Strathcona. That one became mm-hmm. so popular that I just started to add other tours. And right now I offer 6 different tours in the Edmonton area. We do the ghost tours at Old Strathcona, the University of Alberta ghost tours in the summertime. We do historical tours, cemetery tours, haunted pub tours, lots of tours. And then over the Halloween season, I also add the haunted trolley tour over the high level bridge. So there's always a wide array of ghosts and hauntings and murders and mysteries to draw on when I'm doing all those stories. Mm-hmm. It started out as just a little passion project, and it just grew and grew and grew to the point where I was able to make it a full-time job, which is amazing. Along the way, I've had the opportunity to work with some amazing networks, written for different networks as well, contributed to different stories. About 2.5 years ago, I started a podcast called Haunted Canada, and it just took off. It just became even more successful than I could ever imagine. And I joined a network last year. I joined Curious Cast with Chorus Entertainment. That takes the podcast to a whole other level. And I get to work with amazing producers and audio people and who just help make it better. And it honestly is a dream come true. But right now, of course, today is Halloween, my favorite day, one of my favorite days of the year. And when we think about Halloween, we think about all the ghost stories that we have in the area or in the city. Mm-hmm. And there's so many wonderful ghost stories that I personally love. But when we think about the tours that I do, there's so many favorite little spots. One of my favorite is, of course, the Walterdale Playhouse. It's in Old Strathcona. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the first places we visit on the ghost tours. The Walterdale Playhouse goes back to the early 1900s when it was originally a fire hall for the Strathcona area when it was just a town. And then over the years, they built a bigger fire hall And then I think it was in the 60s or 70s, it became a playhouse. So there's lots of actors who act there now, but they believe that they have their own resident ghost named Walter, interestingly enough. They believe that it's an old fireman who sadly died in the fire hall back in the early 1900s. And it's that fireman's spirit that's still roaming throughout the theater to this day. Staff, actors, volunteers, they'll often see the ghostly apparition of a man, an older man, walking throughout the theater up and down the side staircases. Actors will catch a glimpse of him out of the corner of their eye when they're acting on stage. Mm-hmm. They'll look to the wings and they'll see a man standing there that shouldn't be there. Mm-hmm. It's always the same. It's an older man, heavy set, and many believe that it's Walter. Many times actors will have props vanishing from their tables, costumes vanishing. One lady told me about an incident many years ago when she was getting ready to perform in a show. She was upstairs in the old bunkhouse, mm-hmm. which is where the fireman died, and she was getting ready for a show, and she was wearing a platinum blonde wig for the show. Her wig was on her table, so she was getting ready, putting her costume on, putting her dress on, and when she turned back around to grab the wig, it was gone from the table. Now, it's 1 hour to showtime. Actors, they searched every nook and cranny, couldn't find the wig. 5 minutes before showtime, they found it down on center stage. So, of course, everyone believes that it's the ghost playing tricks, hiding props, hiding costume parts. But everybody who works there, they have a good sense. They don't believe that it's a mean spirit or anything like that. It's a friendly spirit. He likes to play tricks. And the Walterdale Playhouse, they've embraced it, mm-hmm. Which is really nice to know.
Oh, that's really chilling, Nadine. And I can relate whenever I have walked around, especially at night in this old Strathcona area. That whole place gives you a spooky vibe. I have been around that place, but I wasn't aware of this event or incident, I can say. So now it will be haunting me when I'm walking in front of that, for sure. So speaking of ghost events that takes place in Edmonton, things get really quiet. It's a big city and it gets really quiet at the time of the night, especially if it's cold winter night around after 8 or 9 p.m. And that is when I had the opportunity to attend Nadine's, one of the famous University of Alberta ghost tours. And I myself, being a student of the University of Alberta, I have wandered through the halls, through the road, many times in the night. But after attending the first ghost tour by Nadine, I myself lost out of the courage to walk alone in some of those areas. And these are all spectacular stories that happened in the University of Alberta, and really chilling as well. Great blend of history, great blend of spookiness. Nadine, can you share with our audience one of your favorite story, maybe from the University of Alberta?
Sure, not a problem. The University of Alberta tour started just out of my love of ghost stories. So I was doing the ghost tours in Old Strathcona for a few years, and that one became really popular. My philosophy has always been, if you do one tour and people like it that much, they'll come on all your other tours. Mm-hmm. I have people who come back on the tour every year. I have my repeat people who come back every year. They bring family. And it's just always brings such a warm feeling in my heart, because we have the support of people come back every year. And when people come back every year, I call them restockers. It's a funny joke between me and the regulars. But it's really nice when people come back and support. I was always looking for ways to diversify. So I realized the U of A has so many historical buildings and so many ghost stories as well. And there's so many there that I've dug up over the years. I think one of my favorite is actually about Penmenel Hall. Now, Penmenel Hall is a historical building on campus. It was actually the second building built on campus. And when it opened, you had male students on the top floor, female students on the second floor. The main floor was used for classrooms and labs, and the bottom floor was used just as a storage room. And Penmenel Hall, it served many different purposes over the years. During World War I and World War II, it was used to house visiting soldiers. Soldiers would hang out in the area of practice until they were sent overseas for World War I or World War II. Mm-hmm. And then actually it was used as a hospital and a quarantine building many times throughout history. but the first time it was ever used as a hospital was during the Spanish flu, the influenza epidemic that struck across Canada from 1918 to 1920. And when the Spanish flu hit Alberta, hit Edmonton, was most people back in the early 1900s, they put in a lot of strict rules and regulations. Mm-hmm. You were required out in public to wear a white cheesecloth mask or handkerchief over your face. You weren't allowed to have gatherings more than 10 people at a time. You couldn't shake hands. And they were using Pembina Hall as a hospital. Now, at one point, they had close to 2,000 people who were sick and dying in the hospital. And records show that about 200 people died in that building, in that hospital. Now, of course, the sad part is that even when people died, family members were afraid to take their bodies because they thought that even in death, they would contract the Spanish flu. So what the nurses and the doctors did is they would store some of the bodies on the bottom floor of Pembina Hall on a makeshift morgue. Now, eventually, what do you do with the bodies? How do you stop the bodies from decomposing? So what they would do, because it was winter time, the winter of 1918 to 1919, they would leave the windows open, cold, you know, Alberta air would come in, keep the bodies preserved a bit. Plus, there was ice in the North Saskatchewan River. They'd bring up big blocks of ice. But then as the spring of 1919 rolled around, temperatures rose, ice in the river melted, and those bodies that were stored on the bottom floor, they began to rot. So eventually, the smell that was in the building, nurses, doctors couldn't handle it, gave the government of Alberta an ultimatum, get rid of the bodies or we're going to walk out. So eventually, the government got rid of the bodies. And they were all buried in like a massive makeshift grave outside the city. Because again, you had to protect the city during the Spanish flu influenza epidemic. But it's the staff who work in the building now have been telling me for years that sometimes on hot summer days, they'll still get the smell of rotting corpses in the building. And even odder, that staff will say that when they're working there late at night, early in the mornings, that they'll often hear sounds in the hallway. And when they look out in the hallway, they'll see what appears to be the apparition of men, women, and children in white hospital gowns just walking up and down the hallway. Of course, everyone believes that it is the spirits of the people that died at the Pembina Hospital during the Spanish flu, the influenza epidemic that struck across Canada from 1918 to 1920.
Oh, that's really chilling. And when you mentioned that the odor has spread around, I can technically smell that from your saying, and it's indeed. I was a medical professional and I have had experience working in the morgues, and that smell is not pleasant at all.
It's not good at all. I have a friend who worked there a few years ago, and she said that in the summertime she couldn't work in the building. She had to work somewhere else because on the hot summer days they would get an odd smell. And it was just really gross, and they'd work in other buildings in the summertime.
Indeed. I took my forensic medicine education in that morgue, and you really can stand that for a longer time. And imagine hundreds of people, you know, having piled up, how you mentioned, really spooky. So next time, University of Alberta students, when you are near the Pembina Hall at night, make sure to remember that.
Check it out. And it's a creepy building. It's a beautiful building. It's very historical. And we talk about the history of it as well. But, you know, when you dig deep enough, you can find these ghost stories. Mm. And over the years, that's the great thing about doing the tours, is that over the years, a lot of my stories come from, you know, the archives, digging through the archives, digging up stories. But my best stories over the years come from people who have been on my tour and tell me, hey, I worked there, or I used to go to school there, or I lived there. That's how I get some of my best stories.
Mm-hmm. And it's also a wonder, Nadine, that there are paranormal or supernatural things happening around us, even when we are aware or not aware of it. It's just if we have that conscience to look for those. Even in the other day, what was happening is that in the apartment that I live, usually it's very close to the building garbage disposal where you can throw garbage from each of the floor, and sometimes it's just that when the bangings happen, it literally sounds like someone is knocking, and I can feel like that's a garbage area who someone is using that to open the door and using that garbage chute. Maybe around like 2 weeks ago, it was one in the night, I was watching Netflix and I heard that sound. So I was typically thinking that maybe someone is using the carpet chute. But also at that time of night, it's very unusual. So just for my wonders, I opened the door, and maybe it was like 20 seconds. Literally no apartment can have the distance of going back and forth in 20 seconds. And when I opened the door, literally no one was there. First, I thought it might be my hallucination of hearing, probably coming from the Netflix. But then I went outside and I saw the door was really shut for the garbage disposal, because when you open it, the noise kicks in. So even if someone had opened, I would have heard that. It was closed and there was no one near. So I was really shocked and I didn't make sense out of it. So there might be things happening here and there which we are not aware of. I just wanted to share a quick incident that happened to me a few days ago.
Yeah, that's great. And people want to share their stories. You know, it's just not at Halloween. Yeah. Not even an hour ago, I just did a radio show at CBC in Ontario. And it was an hour-long program and people would call in with their stories. And at the end of it, of course, I mentioned, hey, if you got a ghost story, if you've got a paranormal experience, email it to me, because I can use it on the podcast. I can put it in my book. And I mean, I think so far I'm up to about 40 emails from people who just want to share their ghost stories. Mm-hmm. So people want it. People have very similar strange experiences and they want to share them. It's all very interesting.
Indeed, Nadine. I know you have a wealth of stories and experience from over the years that you have done. Can you share a story that you felt was really haunting?
Well, I think one of the most interesting stories, and I get asked this question a lot, and this is a story I always tell, and it's a story from Alberta, but it happened to my son. So when we lived in our previous house about 15 years ago, my youngest son, Jack, he was only about 4 at the time. And when he was a small child, very, very quiet child. So one day, him and his brother, Matthew, were down in the rec room playing. This is the period of when they had the Wii games. So they're downstairs playing Wii. And my husband and I are upstairs in the kitchen. And at one point, Jack comes upstairs. And I remember he's 4 years old. He comes upstairs, very quiet child. And he says, he just looks at me, my husband, and he says, I don't want to play downstairs anymore. So we just figure, well, maybe his brother's picking up him or something, you know, who knows? So I just say to Jack, I said, well, why don't you want to play downstairs? And Jack says, because the man on the pool table keeps staring at me.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, my husband was not impressed. He's like, what's on the go? And so I'm like, okay, let's figure this out. So I take Jack by the hand and I'm like, okay, well, let's go downstairs and check. So we go downstairs. And when we get to the bottom stair, I've got Jack by the hand. My other son is still playing. He's oblivious to it all. And I say to Jack, like, well, do you see the man in the rec room? And Jack says, no. And so I said, well, where was he? And Jack says he was sitting on top of the pool table. I was like, okay, well, what did he look like? And Jack said that he looked like Granddad, his grandfather. But now his grandfather was still alive at this point. So which meant that Jack sort of meant that he was an older man right here. I'm like, okay. I was like, well, what was the man doing? And Jack says he was doing this.
Oh, wow.
And wow. I mean, I even got the hairs on the back of my neck even stood up. And I was like, okay. So the kids went upstairs and you try to rationalize it because, you know, you never know what kids can see stuff. And so I'm like anybody, I'm a skeptic at heart. I want to see the proof. I want to see the, you know, tangible proof. But still, that night, when everyone was gone to bed, I still went down to the rec room and I said, okay, if there's anybody here, you're welcome to stay. Just don't let my kids see you because they won't understand. And after that day, my son never went downstairs by himself. He never saw this man again, or that he told me, because again, he was only 4 years old. But I always talk about that story. That was my strangest experience because, you know, Jack is 21 now, but he was 4 at the time. He still remembers that story. We don't live in that house anymore. And it was a brand new house in a brand new neighborhood. So, but you never know what they, you know, what's there, what energy's there. You just don't know. So that's always, I always tell that story. That's always my creepiest story.
Thank you so much, Nadine, for sharing that. And very chilling indeed. And for listeners, if you're listening to the audio of the podcast, the man who was calling Nadine's four-year-old son was come to me. That was the hand gesture that, that they were...
Little finger light, come here, come here.
Very, very chilling indeed, Nadine. And it's amazing. Things happen to ourselves, you know. It's not out there. It's within us. We just have to have the eyes to look for those signs, because paranormal things happen quite often. If it's okay with you, Nadine, I can just tell a really quick story that happened in one of the villages that I have heard from my uncle who has lived there all his life. Is that once he heard someone, because he was a pharmacist over there, so someone came to his house at 2 a.m. and said that my dad is shivering and he is having frothing coming out of his mouth. So can you please come and take a look what's happened? And he quickly went with him and saw that he was indeed shivering. He didn't have conscious and frothing was coming out. And he tried to take care of him and make him stabilized. And when he came back to normal in the next day, my uncle asked, what happened to you? Why were you acting this way? The frothing coming out of the mouth, you cannot make that up until something actually serious happens. So what he mentioned was he was a bit late from his work. So he was coming back to his home where he saw there was in Bangladesh, there is a thing called a rickshaw puller. So it's kind of you pedal and you take away some stuffs in a rack behind that pedal. So in that pedal, there was someone who was taking a corpse in white covered clothes. The surprising thing was the village was really small. So usually everyone knows everyone in that village. He was not able to recognize either the rickshaw puller or the person who was taking that corpse. And that person actually asked him that, can you help us? Can you lead us the way out of this village? We are from another village. And so he voluntarily helped and he got into that cart. And he was showing him the way out of the village. Suddenly, what he noticed was beside the corpse, there were two other men sitting behind. He had no recollection of the cart pausing and they getting into the cart. So he didn't understand where those people came from. And when he turned around, the person who had asked him to help, he took his hand and put his head forward and said, don't look behind, otherwise you will be in trouble. And then those people started laughing who were behind. And suddenly he felt like that cart was pulling really fast. And there was something that was not right with the aura around what was happening. So what he did, he just jumped out of the cart and started running out of nowhere in the darkness. The moment he started running, he found 4 or 5 people laughing on the behind. And that is when he lost his consciousness and he can't remember anything. But the people who find them, it was around 2 or 3 hours after he was lying down unconscious, told them that he was actually shivering really bad and he took them home. And tomorrow, the next day, every villager went outside to see who actually died in some of the other nearby villages, and no one did. So this is a really chilling story my uncle told me a few years ago. So still haunts me when I'm thinking them at night. Yeah.
Exactly. Very creepy.
Thank you so much, Nadine. I really appreciate you coming to this podcast and sharing some of your experience with our wonderful audience in the Halloween episode today.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And people want to learn more about the ghost tours of the podcast. You can to learn about the ghost tours, you can visit the website edmontonghosttours.com. Tours will be happening till about early next week. But I do have some stuff happening over the November and December period, indoors, of course, because it's Alberta. So just follow me on social media, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, whatever, and you can get all those updates. And also, of course, if you want to listen to my podcast, Haunted Canada, it's on Spotify, it's on Apple, it's anywhere you listen to podcasts. And season 2 just dropped 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago. And on season two, I'm actually interviewing people who live in these haunted places. So not only will you hear the story, the history, but you'll hear the firsthand encounters that people have experienced in these haunted locations. And they're absolutely fabulous. All the stories are amazing. The first episode of season two is about Mystic Manor just outside of Calgary. And it's an older house. It was a morgue back in the day. A psychic owns it. It's just, it is, I think we're, it's such a great story, such a good story. And you get to hear these firsthand encounters of all the bizarre and haunted paranormal things that happen in that historic home. So yeah, so if listeners want to have a listen to my podcast and support and give it a like and give it a follow, of course, that means the world to me. But thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Nadine, for your time. And there is one episode I did remember distinctly in the season one of the Haunted Canada podcast, is the cold case of Mary Ann. That was so unsettling, and even to this day, no one knows what actually happened to Mary Ann. And I really encourage my listeners to go in and check in the Haunted Canada podcast, especially if you like uncle stories and if you like to hear about the horror, true crime that things actually does happen in Canada more often than you think. Thank you so much, Nadine, again, for your valuable time. I hope to have you sometime in future as well.
Thank you again. I really appreciate you for having me in your podcast. And just to keep up the good work. It's a great podcast, and just keep at it.
Take care, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, take care. Bye.